So welcome back. We're going to go ahead. We're halfway through our discipled series. And last week, we ended with this thought. Learning from Jesus is a multi-step process. First, we respond to the invitation. Second, we admit that we're overburdened and needy. And then third, we accept his yoke. Remember what a yoke is, right? It's that thing that oxen wear, and they move together, and they do things together. And so we hitch our lives to his, and we live in tandem with the Savior of mankind. So I hope that many of you were able to hitch yourselves to Jesus in tangible ways this past week. Things like praying, reading, and getting into worship are amazing ways to grow closer to Christ and to the church. With that said, there's one specific thing that we can do to really ramp up the discipleship process. You like what? Ramp up. That means let's get going, right? We want to ramp it up, okay? So as you may have already guessed, when we serve others and love one another as Jesus has modeled for us, we learn so much about our faith. Things like humility, compassion, grace, and mercy, they don't necessarily come naturally to any of us. But for some reason, when we put ourselves in the position to serve others, we grow exponentially in these specific areas. Now, Jesus must have known something about this when he famously said in 1 John 3:18, "Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions in truth." With actions. Okay? And in truth. It's one thing to say that we love others, and it's another thing to show it through our Christ-centered service. As Helen Keller said, "Alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much." Alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much. Or the African proverb which says, "If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together." And the last time I checked, we're headed all the way into eternity. So let's get started. We're going to go ahead. There are so many amazing examples and stories that we could point to in the New Testament of times that Jesus served others. Let me ask you this. When Jesus served others, was he in the church? The church building? The synagogue? No, he was out in the community, wasn't he? He was out in the area which others needed help or needed something, right? And how was he going to reach others if he didn't get out of the synagogue? He had to go out into the community, right? So this is a lot of what I'm going to talk about today, about serving others, about being a servant to others. You know, one of the stories that sticks out is the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, as recorded in John 13, 1 through 17. So if you would, turn your Bibles to John chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word. John chapter 13, verse 1. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand. You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After the washing, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I am doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." You may be seated. This is, by all accounts, an incredible story with multiple facets of application and learning. What I want to focus on is the example that Jesus sets, where he, the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Kings, stoops down to wash the feet of his disciples. This act is not simply a display of humility, but it's also a powerful demonstration of service. In the culture of the time, foot washing was a task typically performed by the lowest of servants. Yet, here was Jesus, the master and teacher, performing this lowly task. Not to mention, washing feet was not just about physical cleanliness. It was a symbolic act. Feet which were exposed to the dirt and grime of the roads represented the sin and filth of the world. By washing his disciples' feet, Jesus was demonstrating his willingness to cleanse us from our sins. He was showing that no matter how dirty or sinful we may be, his love and his grace are sufficient to make us clean. Jesus' act of service was not selective. He washed the feet of all his disciples, including Judas, who he knew was about to betray him. He knew that. He knew that he had an enemy in the midst. What does God's word say about our enemies? We're to love them, right? We're to love them. This shows us that Jesus' love and service extends even to those who hurt and betray him. His love is unconditional, and his service is not dependent on our worthiness or our response to him. This one point is so important, as many of us struggle to serve those we don't like or we don't identify with or simply don't think that they deserve the help. Jesus' example challenges us to examine our attitudes towards service. Are we willing to serve others even when it's inconvenient or uncomfortable? Are we willing to serve those who may not appreciate or reciprocate our service? Are we willing to serve without expecting anything in return? In God's kingdom, greatness is not measured by how many people serve us, but by how we serve and love others. The world may value power, wealth, and status, but God values humility, love, and service. This truth couldn't be clearer than when Jesus gets down on his hands and knees to wash the disciples' feet. As Jesus said, "No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." Now, there have been times I've washed feet before, only one set of feet, and it was the feet of my wife. It was just after we had gotten married, and we had just gotten back from a marriage conference. Weekend to Remember. Do you guys know who puts that on? It's, what's the name of it, hon?
Focus on Family.
It's not Focus on the Family, it's the other one. Family Life. And we've been to these probably three or four times now, but the one that I'm talking about was just right after we got married. We got home. I had all the kids there, and I said, "This is an opportune time," because I wanted to show the kids that we were together, not apart, that we were one. And I wanted to show them that Mom, my wife, meant a lot to me. So I got out a bowl, a mixing bowl, filled it with water, got a washcloth, got some, I don't know, did I use soap? I don't remember if I did or not. I can't remember. But anyway, I knelt down there, had all the kids on the couch, and was talking to them as I washed her feet, stating how much I loved her, how much she means to me, and that we are husband and wife, and God has brought us together for a purpose. And just to let them know that, you know, that I'm willing to do anything for my wife, including washing her feet, and to serve her in any way that I can. And I think it was just a time where we were going through, we had gone through a lot in the first 5 years of our marriage with court cases and things like that. So I think it really solidified our relationship with one another, as well as explained to the kids, this is who we are and how God has brought us together. And so I think that that was real important. There's other ways where I have served others before. I told you about the one with the lady next door, and we got together a bunch of guys in the church, and we went ahead and helped her build a ramp for her disabled mother because she was coming to live with them, and things like that. That's another way. I know that there was another one where we went out and at a, I think it was a youth camp. Can't remember if it was the high schoolers, middle schoolers. I think it was the high schoolers, because back then we had high school camp and middle school camp. It was a little bit different. And we went, and we had different areas around the camp that people owned properties and they needed help. Elderly people, widows, that needed help with their yards and stuff like that. So we went and we helped them. There were things that needed to be repaired. We helped with that. And so those were service times. And you know, in doing that, I mean, that's a huge, huge blessing to know that God, number one, is using me. To know that God is using me for his purpose. I don't want to be out, you know, not doing something that I shouldn't be doing, like my previous life, you know, before I was saved. Definitely don't want to go back to that. But how God has changed my heart in serving others and wanting to serve others, I think is very important. You know, again, without doing that, the growth that I've had from the time I've become a disciple of Christ to now, I mean, serving others is like vitally important. It gets the message to everyone that doesn't know Jesus. It's not about, us coming to church. I mean, yeah, we do come to church. We come to church as a group of believers to worship him. But the rest of the stuff, serving, we got to get out there. We got to get out there. So, serving others is not just a duty, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to come and serve another. In fact, there's a strong argument to be made that the one who serves is blessed even more than the one who has served. I mean, for me, I can feel the love of Christ. You know, before I was saved, before all, you know, Jesus came into my life, there would be absolutely none of that. No sharing, no doing something for someone else. out of love. There would be none of that. And many in the church today, I think sometimes that's where people are hurt. Like I said, I know somebody that left the church because of that. And they left because the church wasn't doing anything with the community. I mean, my personal opinion, we've got the name of our community on our sign out there. If we're part of the community, then we would be in the community. Amen? I mean, it makes sense. I mean, let me ask you this. I'm just going to use the Chamber of Commerce for an example. North Pole Community Chamber of Commerce is what they're called. Now, if they were helping other businesses that were not even in this area, and they were, you know, ignoring this community, let me ask you, should they be called North Pole Community Chamber of Commerce? No. They shouldn't. They should be called whatever they're serving, you know, and they shouldn't even be in North Pole. Now, if we're a group of believers, if we have Jesus in us, we're following him. What did Jesus do? He went into the community to reach others. Amen? That's what he did. And so this is to me, it speaks volumes of, you know, to be a Christ follower. If we're following Jesus, if we're following what he says in his word, then we would be in the community. Amen? Now, I'm not going to say we're not, because we've begun to do that. Previous to this? No. And I'll confess, I had a huge problem with it. I have a huge problem with it, and I'll continue to have a huge problem with it until the church is the church, to be in the community. You know, we're not a club. We're not the Lions Club. We're not the Rotary Club. You know, they do nice things. They do good things. But they don't bring Jesus into the community. And how do you do that? It's through your actions, your behaviors, your attitudes, what you say, your words. Because you got to be able to walk the talk. Amen? You don't talk the walk. That's backwards. You walk the talk. So this principle of giving is highlighted in Acts 20:35, where Jesus is recorded as saying, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." You know, and if you, I mean, for me, if Jesus says that, you know, it's kind of opposite of what the way the devil works, Satan works, right? The enemy. He wants to receive. He wants to receive, 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 receive. You should be receiving. But how can you be blessed? I don't know. Nanette and I have been blessed over and over and over again. Through different times and you know, sometimes they were hard times, but we gave everything that we have. We gave and we gave and we gave. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus gave. He gave everything, including his life. You know, there are many, I think about what's going on over there in Israel and in Gaza, you know, and wondering, you know, I'm praying for them. But I wonder, you know, sometimes if we're standing right there facing death, can you say that you will say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior? Right? Can you say that without hesitation, with conviction? I think sometimes when I look at the church today, and I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the church as a whole, I think there are many out there that if they were facing that time, that there are some that would renounce. And I find that really sad, because they're afraid to speak up. They're afraid to say that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Remember Peter? Peter did it. He denied him 3 times. So, you know, I really want you to think about that. Where are you at? Are you at a place where you can serve out in the community? Without hesitation, knowing that you could be called names, you could be called weak. Could you do that? See, here, it would seem that Jesus knows something that we don't know about the deep truths of the universe, and he's trying to teach us. The greater impact of serving others is so profound. When we serve others, we're not only meeting their immediate needs, but we're also demonstrating God's love in a tangible way. This can have a transformative effect on the people that we serve, often softening hearts and opening minds to the message of the gospel. Not only that, but when we serve others, we're serving Christ himself. When you look into another person's eyes and they're in need, look into their eyes. You're serving Christ. You're serving Jesus. As he said in Matthew 25:40, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Serving is literally a win-win-win for everyone involved. Serving others takes our focus off ourselves and our own needs and desires. Helping us to develop a more Christ-like attitude of selflessness and humility. It also helps us to develop a deeper understanding and appreciation of God's grace as we see His love and mercy at work in the lives of those we serve. When we serve, we build connections with people, breaking down those barriers and building bridges of understanding and compassion. This can lead to stronger, more meaningful relationships, both within the church and in the wider community. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "The church is the church only when it exists for others, not dominating, but helping and serving. It must tell men of every calling what it means to live for Christ, to exist for others." I'm going to read that again because this first part it just hits me right here. The church is the church only when it exists for others. The church is the church only when it exists for others. And it's not by doing this, but actually serving, helping them with their needs. Said another way, it's blessed to be a blessing and to show others the tangible love of Christ through service. Now, at this point, the question shouldn't be, why should I serve? But rather, where can I sign up? Amen? Amen? The motivation for serving others as seen in the life of Christ is love. It's love. This truth becomes even more clear in John 13:1, when Jesus says, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Jesus' love for his disciples was not a fleeting emotion, but a steadfast commitment that led him to serve them, even in the humblest of ways. This love was not dependent on the disciples' actions or responses. Even knowing that Judas Iscariot, would betray him, he knew that. You know, when I look at that and I think about that and I meditate on it, I'm like, wow. Now I know Jesus is God. He came in human form. He knew that he was going to be killed. That was all part of his Father's plan. Amen? That was the plan. Let me ask you this. Put yourself in his shoes. You knew someone was after you. You knew someone was going to kill you, turn you in to be put to death. That's what Judas did. Turned him in, got some money for it. What would you do? This is all part of God's plan. Again, I go back to, you know, standing there before, you know, a war or whatever. You've got someone there asking you to renounce your faith. What are you going to do? And Jesus still washed Judas's feet. He served him, treated him just like he treated the rest of the disciples, even though he knew that he was going to be turned in to be killed. Wow. You know, this shows us that our motivation to serve should not be based on what we can get in return or how others may respond to our service. Our motivation should be love. Love. You know, I think about this You're Not Alone wall and the pantries that are there. You know, it's not our job to sit there and think about, well, those kids should be at their homes. What's wrong with, you know, they probably got in a argument with their parents. They should be a little bit more discipline than that, you know, and all that. But the thing is they're not receiving love. They're not receiving love from the community when people say things like that, come up with these, you know, judgments on them. They're not receiving love. And so when others see this, seeing that they need things like food, seeing that they may need some services like what NAMI does for mental illness, they may need it. There may be some teens that are depressed and they need direction. That's love. When we can see the need and supply it without questioning, without judging, and how do we know what it is to love? How do we know what it is to love? We love because He first loved us. And He's given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. And that's 1 John 4:18 to 21. I'll look that up. God loved us and gave His Son to us, even when we were still entrenched in sin and depravity. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. What better way to respond than to follow the example of Christ? Humble ourselves and serve the world around us. When we give our lives to Christ, we give it up. We give up our old lives. We give up our old lives and we become new creations through Him. We surrender everything. We're now His. And as disciples, we learn and follow Christ, hoping to be more like Him. We identify with Christ, and Jesus understood His identity and His mission. He knew that He had come from God and was returning to God, and that the Father had put all things under His power. Yet He chose to use His power to serve others. He had power. He could have said, I ain't doing that. But He did. He was obedient to His Father. This teaches us that our service should be motivated by an understanding, by our understanding of who we are in Christ and the mission that He has given us. We're called to serve others not because we are inferior. No. We're children of the Most High King. We're called to serve others because we're secure in our identity as children of God and understand that serving others is part of our mission. The motivation for serving others, as demonstrated by Jesus, is love. Is love. And we know love because He gave us the greatest example the world has ever known when He willingly gave His life so that we could have eternal life. Now let's remember that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, chose to serve others, even in His final hours. He didn't just tell us to serve. He showed us how. He washed the feet of His disciples, a task reserved for the lowliest of servants. He did this to show us that no act of service is too small or too humble. All service matters when it is Christ-centered service. With that in mind, let me ask you, where can you serve others this coming week? We've got an event coming up. It's not at the church, and I did that on purpose. You probably will not see many events ever again held at this church because we come here to worship. Out there, we need to be the church in community. I know we had gingerbread house stuff. I'm trying to fix that to where we're not going to have it at the church. We're going to have it in the community. There are things that are going on. It's not going to be in the church. It's going to be in the community. We have plenty of empty seats in here. with us going into the community, my prayer is that Jesus's light will shine through each one of us. And people will be asking, there's something different about that church. There's something different about that church. That church isn't always gathered up. In fact, they'll say, I know where North Pole Church of the Nazarene is at, because their members are always in the community helping, loving on others, doing what Jesus did. So, where can you serve others this coming week? When you think about that question, think of people like your neighbors, maybe your coworkers, maybe those that deliver your mail or you get packages through FedEx or whatever. Anybody ever talked to them people before? I mean, they do this. A lot of times all I see is complaints on the Facebook about how they didn't do it the right way or whatever. You know, those people need to be loved. Bank tellers. You go, I'm sure everybody has a bank account here. Have you ever prayed with a bank teller? Maybe ask them what that you can pray for them about. Maybe going into a restaurant and asking the waitress, how can you pray for them? Can we pray for you? We're just getting ready to pray. So we're about ready to pray, and we'd like to know if there's something that we can pray for you about. School teachers. You know, there are many, many people out there in the community that need Jesus. They need that love that Jesus gives. You know, we're surrounded by people like that, that, you know, others who need to experience the love of Jesus. So find ways to show up for these people. Find ways. Don't lock yourself inside the house and not talk to anybody. That's not what Jesus did. He didn't close up shop. He was out there continually. Talk to them and try to identify ways that you could trade your time, talent, and treasure in order to serve them. There are many of you that have talents. And there are many of you that have talents that have not been tapped. You know, Jesus does give, and he gives freely. I never thought I'd be up here preaching. Never in a million years. But he does call people to do things. I know preachers that don't like getting up in front of people and preaching. Some of them get real nervous and they get to the point where they get sick before they preach. But God called them. When you're serving, expect nothing in return. Freely give. Freely give. And remember, we know the secret. it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude for the wisdom and insight that we have received today as we gather once again as a church family. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to continue our discipled series and for the profound lessons that we have learned about the multi-step process of learning from Jesus. We're reminded of the importance of responding to your invitation, admitting our neediness, and accepting your yoke, living in tandem with the Savior of mankind. We pray that these lessons may take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. Today, Lord, we're especially touched by the message of serving others as a powerful means of discipleship. We're reminded of Jesus, our master and teacher, who humbly washed the feet of his disciples, setting a remarkable example of service and love. We are in awe of his unconditional love, even for those who would betray him. Father, may this example inspire us to examine our own attitudes toward service. Help us to serve others with humility, even when it's inconvenient or uncomfortable. Grant us the grace to love and serve without expecting anything in return, following the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We recognize that serving others is not just a duty, but a privilege. We echo the words of Acts 20:35, where Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." May we understand that in serving others, we are serving you, Lord. We are motivated by the love that you have poured into our hearts, and we acknowledge that we love because you first loved us. And as we seek to follow the example of Christ, help us to understand our identity in him and the mission that you have given us. May our service be a reflection of the love that we have received from you. As we conclude this time together, Lord, we pray for your guidance and your strength in finding ways to serve others in the coming week. Open our eyes to the needs of those around us, whether they be our neighbors, our coworkers, or strangers that we encounter in our daily lives. May we freely give, expecting nothing in return, knowing that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Lord, may our service be a testimony to your love and your grace, drawing others closer to you. Bless our efforts, and may we continue to learn and grow as your disciples, becoming more like Jesus with each act of service. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. Have a wonderful week. Hope to see some of you there at the Aurora Fun Center on Tuesday. I'm excited about this, but I'm going to tell you, I'm a little nervous too, because this type of stuff makes me stepping out of my comfort zone, I guess. Anyway, have a blessed week.